Crashes involving e-bikes and e-scooters have surged in Wisconsin. Children and teens are heavily impacted by the injuries, and many of those accidents involve motor vehicles. In Madison, the spike in severe trauma has accelerated in the last year, according to UW Health's Emergency Medicine Department. In April through June of this year, the department saw a massive jump in the number of e-bike and e-scooter-related ER visits from kids under 18 compared to the same time last year. Doctors and public health experts warn this is an emerging pediatric public health crisis. Dr. Nicholas Connell is an emergency medicine physician at UW Health Kids. He talked to host Kate Archer Kent about the injuries he's treating.
I hold my breath when I see what looks like a young person on an e-scooter who is flying by me at top speed without a helmet, without any protection. As an ER doctor, what injuries are you seeing that are associated with riding e-bikes and e-scooters?
Yeah, I think your description there of the experience someone flying by you without a helmet or other protective gear is unfortunately quite common. And it can also be quite risky in that scenario too, given the high speeds at which these e-bikes and e-scooters travel and the ease at which they travel, one can become distracted quite quickly. So in the emergency department, we see a decent amount of injuries that are similar to those seen by riding other scooters or bikes, but just to greater severities. And so thinking when you've crashed in the past, if you have, or seen others, road rashes, fractures, broken bones, head injuries, and they can be quite severe head injuries or even internal injuries to the chest or abdomen or organs inside.
I worry about that head trauma, that severe head trauma, especially at such an early age in those youth and teens.
Yeah, for certain. Yeah, and it definitely is, given the speed at which you're traveling and the severity of the injuries with the head injuries can lead to quite prolonged hospitalization, sometimes even surgery for that, and rehabilitation processes for some of those prolonged concussions or more severe traumatic brain injuries that can last a lifetime.
As a health provider, how concerned are you about this sharp increase that we're seeing in these crashes and with the, you know, with the injuries?
Yeah, very concerned right now. As you comment, last year, we had seen a handful of these injuries, but it was nothing that jumped out. But really earlier this year, once the weather started warming up, and then especially once kids, once the school year ended and kids were out more commonly riding these throughout the day, this is a daily occurrence, if not multiple times a day, that we're seeing kids coming in with these injuries that, as you heard earlier, are quite severe. And without taking the opportunity to share this story and wear protective gear and potentially take other approaches from a true system community approach to this, I don't know that I foresee this trend changing in any way.
What should we as parents tell our kids about riding e-scooters?
I think that's a really key component of how to approach this. You know, it's not just wearing the safety gear. It requires a lot of pre-education and understanding from the parents going into it to really help keep your child safe. And that goes back to the start of you have to trust yourself as a parent in assessing your child's ability. Are they physically able to control these devices to start with? Are they old enough to be on these? Number two is understanding the device itself. Some of these devices go slower than others, making sure that it's safe for your child. And then the pre-education around assuring that your child's wearing a bike helmet, assuring that they understand the rules of the road, so to say. Different communities and municipalities have different approaches in whether or not they're allowed on sidewalks or whether they should be in the bike lanes or on the road, and making sure that your child understands that and is aware of their surroundings and is riding safely, not being distracted by other devices such as phones. We see that as well, that kids are texting while riding these scooters or bikes because of the ease at which it is to actually make them go, that it's easy to become distracted, and making sure that your child understands that as well.
Dr. Connell, thank you so much for joining us and talking about this issue.
Of course. Yeah, it was my pleasure to join today. And hopefully this will lead to a safer community around us and keep kids out of our emergency department.
Dr. Nicholas Connell is an emergency medicine physician at UW Health Kids. He joined us for a look at the sharp increase in e-bike and e-scooter crashes in Wisconsin in recent years. Now for a look at what's happening around the state to address this issue, we're joined by Ben Lyman, transportation planner at the Greater Madison Metropolitan Planning Organization. Ben, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here today.
The number of young people crashing e-bikes and e-scooters, it's growing by the day. You're part of a statewide group working on this problem. What changes to improve safety are you focusing on?
We're really just focusing on education at this point. Unfortunately, there's sort of a dearth of these devices that are being sold as e-bikes and e-scooters that legally aren't either of those things. They're being sold both through online retailers and in brick-and-mortar stores. Fleet Farm and Best Buy sell them. And they're not legally e-bikes or e-scooters under Wisconsin state law or under laws of many other states. And they're being brought into the country and they're being sold and really mismarketed, and people are buying them not aware of the types of devices that they're getting that are not lower speed legal e-bikes and e-scooters, but are actually what we're calling e-motos or out-of-class electric vehicles. They're essentially motorcycles under state law. And unfortunately, people who don't know any better are buying them for their children or for themselves. And these devices go 40, 50, sometimes as much as 70 miles an hour.
Wow.
And you know, you put a 12-year-old on a device that can go 50 or 60 miles an hour, you're going to have some poor safety outcomes.
Mm. So in terms of education, what might be low-hanging fruit? What changes could be put into place quickly to help deal with these issues?
Well, at this point, it's really, you know, to use term from some of the other folks who are working on this issue, it really is kind of the Wild West right now. These devices aren't being regulated at the federal level when they're brought into the country. Some states are starting to regulate them. California and Utah have been making good steps that way. I know there's interest in doing so in Wisconsin. The bill to try and update definitions in the state legislature didn't really go anywhere last year, but I know that they're hoping for it to move in this next session. But barring that, communities are all kind of regulating things completely differently. And some states, such as New Jersey, have gone so far as to treat all e-bikes, including the relatively slow B-cycles that we have in Madison and similar devices around the state with bike share programs. Those devices are often speed limited to 18 miles an hour. In New Jersey, they're all being considered motorcycles now. So you have to have a DOT helmet for motorcycle use. You have to have a motorcycle endorsement or license. You have to have insurance and registration. And that really takes real, true e-bikes and makes them inaccessible for many people, for youth, for people who can't get a driver's license for whatever historic reason, that could operate a bicycle safely or an e-bike safely. But again, because these devices are coming in and flooding our markets, every state's dealing with it differently. Every community is dealing with it differently. And so the group that I'm working with at the statewide level is trying to educate both communities and police and enforcement agencies as well as consumers. So we've been holding webinars and printing material, and we're developing informational videos that can be posted through social media, really trying to take a multi-pronged approach with it.
So as you say, no single federal traffic law regulating these e-scooters, you know, to operate on public roads, no federal legislation covering it, states going about it kind of from scratch on their own. Have any Wisconsin municipalities passed their own local ordinances yet?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, most of those that I've seen are kind of missing the mark of what the problem is. So here in Dane County, the village of Wanakee has been working on a new e-bike and e-scooter ordinance. Unfortunately, even in its second and third draft forms that I've seen, it still doesn't even really acknowledge these out-of-class electric vehicles. It talks about restrictions on who can ride and when, where you can ride these legal devices, but doesn't address these out-of-class vehicles. Similarly, communities throughout the state are sort of taking matters into their own hands. And we're, again, really trying to get out there with we developed a guidance over the winter and released it this spring for municipalities to look at what the state enabling legislation is. And quite often, local police departments or local politicians who are hearing about these things being a problem, their kind of knee-jerk reaction is, well, we'll just ban e-bikes in our community. Mm. Well, under state law, that's not actually enabled. E-bikes are bicycles. Wherever bicycles are allowed, e-bikes are allowed. There is no difference in state law, and there's no enabling legislation to allow communities to ban e-bikes. They can restrict the use of the power unit on the e-bike on bikeways within their control, but they cannot outright ban them if bicycles are allowed.
So my child sees their friend who has an e-scooter, is getting around, is getting to their practices on them, is much more mobile with their e-scooter. We also see that many injuries and fatalities are youth. They're teenagers as well. How should we talk to our kids about these e-scooters?
Well, that's sort of the other side of the coin, and that ultimately these are really amazing devices that really improve mobility and people's access to everything that they want to get to in their community. And we see that they're much more heavily used in communities that don't have public transit, which makes sense. People can get further faster. So they're really important devices. And my caveat that you shouldn't buy them, that's really just those e-motos, those out-of-class vehicles. If you're looking at getting an e-scooter for yourself or for a child, make sure that it's a legal e-scooter. Under state law, e-scooters cannot go. They are not capable of going more than 20 miles an hour. If you're at Best Buy and you're looking at an e-scooter and it says it goes 28 miles an hour, it is not a legal e-scooter. Don't buy it. Look for one that is a legal e-scooter and that tops out at no more than 20 miles an hour. And again, think about your 12-year-old, your 14-year-old who doesn't have any experience with the rules of the road. They don't have a driver's license. Do you want to give them the capability of even going 20 miles per hour? Maybe 10 or 12 miles an hour is plenty fast for that child. You need to use your own discretion and your own awareness of your child's abilities. And then talk to them about safety. Make sure they understand the importance of wearing a helmet. Make sure they understand the basic rules of the road, yielding when you come to a stop sign, you know, and yielding to pedestrians and slower moving vehicles if you're on a separated path. Those are all critically important pieces of education that ultimately parents need to help their children understand those parameters to using these devices when they're provided with them, just as they should be if they're given a small, you know, a regular kid's bicycle. Similarly with e-bikes, if it has a throttle, a button you push to make the bike go without pedaling, probably not appropriate for a child. Help them build their muscles. Make sure that they have to pedal in order to make the bike go. They're still going to get that assist. They're still going to be able to rally around with their friends. If they get tired, they're still going to be able to have that assistance. Class 3 e-bikes in the state of Wisconsin cannot be ridden by riders below the age of 16. So that's another thing to consider. Class 3 e-bikes top out at 28 miles an hour. Others class out at 20.
Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ben Lyman is a transportation planner at the Greater Madison Metropolitan Planning Organization, working to educate people on the hazards of riding e-bikes and e-scooters at high speeds. And earlier we heard from Dr. Nicholas Cannell, an emergency medicine physician at UW Health Kids, on the rising number of injuries among children and teens using these vehicles. You can share your thoughts, your experience with e-bikes and e-scooters. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Again, that's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.